Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. What's that lurking in the woods? I don't know what it is, but I don't want to meet it. These subscribers sent in some stories that they claim to be true while exploring woods around where they live. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a story in the woods or something else, be sure to share it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy, allegedly true stories from deep within the woods. Let me tell you some background first. I'm a 14-year-old boy from Ohio, and frequently spend time playing in the woods that he owns. It all started when we were exploring a new part of an area in the woods. While we were walking down the muddy and slippery trail, I started hearing talking. Now, grant that I have a wild imagination. I know this wasn't my head because my friend looked over and had this, "Who are they?" expression. As we got closer, I could smell the scent of weed in the air. Now, I don't live in the greatest of neighborhoods, so this wasn't that uncommon. After smelling this, I spoke softly to my friend. "Dude, we have to get out of here, like right now." But he was intently listening to the conversation they were having and wanted to get closer. I then said, "Why the hell would we want to do that? We need to go now." But he was already moving closer, so I had to go with him. I wasn't going to leave him there. I was his friend. As we moved closer, I started to hear the conversation better and more clear. They said, "Where are we going to put the body?" The first man said in a deep and grumbling voice. The second man said in a more higher voice, "Don't worry about it. The coyotes are going to get it just like the deer." That's when my friend made the mistake of moving a branch. It snapped. I, being the older one, told him to run while I ran down the opposite direction. The two men went after me. When they stopped to catch their breath, that's when I took the chance to climb a tree about 20 to 30 feet up when the men rounded the corner. They ran right by, and after 10 minutes, I heard them coming over again. I held my breath. They went right past me, and I again counted until it had been 10 minutes, and then proceeded to climb down the tree. I then ran as fast as I could up the path and through my friend's yard, and he was there waiting. I told him not to tell his parents because I still wanted to play, but since then, I have never gone down there without at least 2 pocket knives. I live in Carroll Island, a place where you can find a good amount of forestry everywhere. This was located in Baltimore County, and I loved hearing Goatman stories about this place. I believe there is one in Carroll Island, but that's not the point. I loved this bit of forestry and had always when I was a child. I had lived in the house, still am, since I was 7 or 8 years old. These forests, like any other town, always had some urban legend behind them. Some of these were mostly told by older kids who were just trying to scare the kids who would wander about the streets. The teens would always go into the woods to smoke pot, alcohol, and stuff like that. I hated that, but it's how they got their kicks. I was outside of my house sometime near January on a full moon. I can't recall which month perfectly, just know it was a full moon. This was when some of the clown things were starting to die off, and come back in April of 2017. I never believed in them, and still really don't, but that night, I think I kinda did. I walked inside my house with me, my brother, and my friend who we will call Kyle. Kyle was from the Dominican Republic and had always believed in the paranormal, so we had a good bit in common. We walked into my brother's room, since it was the largest, and were watching Logan Paul's controversial Suicide Forest video. Once it was done, Kyle remembered it was a full moon, and that the clowns were out tonight. I called BS and told him it was all hoaxes, and insane people on highways. He doubled me, saying that if I didn't believe, they'd get me. I laughed at this remark to that and told him to stop believing in all that stuff. That's when my brother, who I'll call Joss, sat up and said that I was just being scared. I told him he was a jerk and that it wasn't funny. We got into a conversation for a good 10 minutes when Kyle finally says, "Then why don't you go prove it?" I said okay, and told them that I will be back. I know just the place to prove it. There was a little place down the road that was put there for a park essentially. It wasn't funded. The only thing it had was a small walk bridge that was pretty nice. We called it the Duck Pond, but it actually was a Seneca Creek. I'm giving all the location details to give you a better understanding of how scary this place would have been at night. I left the house, got onto my bike, and rode off 2 blocks away. At the entrance of the park is another set of woods that is private property for houses on the water and some abandoned houses inside. The entrance is easy to see, can't miss it, and personally it looks pretty. As I was walking up to the entrance, I had noticed a foul odor. Keep in mind that this is wildlife, where things die and decompose right there. It wasn't helped with the stench of trash reeking from the trash island. I was about to walk into the park when I kid you not, something had spoken in a low, somewhat luring voice. "Hey there, kiddo. Why don't you come over here?" This is when I went into a complete panic mode. I am someone who isn't scared off so easily, but it was the thought that it could be somewhere out there, the unknown, which scared me. I turned towards a small patch of bushes near the entrance, and I see something crouched over deep in the bushes, facing toward me. I couldn't tell if it was a clown or a demon. I didn't care at this point. Even thinking it could be anything was making me paranoid. As I was gonna man up and go see what it was, it speaks again. "That's right. Come over here." And I hear a sheathing of a blade. That's when I knew it was time to book it. I instantly wailed in fright, almost peeing myself in the whole process. I crashed into that bike. I say if I hadn't been riding for many years and built my muscle to power out of there, I would have been done for. I floor it back to my house. At this point, my body is completely in hysteria, and Kyle said that once I opened the door, I was not comprehensible. It took me a minute to calm down and I realized I shouldn't be so scared. I explained to Kyle and Josh what had just happened, and we agree to go back tomorrow and mess up whoever or whatever did this. I was 14 at the time. One day, I and my family went on a trip. My family loved going out on trips and exploring while I loved playing video games. There were 6 of us, my mom, dad, brother, sister, and of course me. We packed up a couple of clothes cause we were spending the week there. Before I left, I was downloading music I could listen to while we were on the ride through the filthiest van. It was a 7-hour drive, so I was pretty much tired the whole process. So when 4 hours passed, I finally had slept. I woke up in the middle of everyone bringing all the stuff out in the house. It looked like a very ugly house. It had that dead rat smell. Everyone was pleasantly smiling while I was disappointed. My father mumbled to me, "The place isn't that bad," followed with an awkward smile. We all came in the house. I was the last to enter while I was outside trying to get reception, but there was no service. A couple of hours in, we started dinner. It was the longest dinner I've ever had because it was so nice and everyone was laughing just like a nice family dinner. After what seems like 2 hours have passed, they were still talking and chatting to each other while I went to the other room. My parents told me I was going to sleep in this room. Then, from there, I was tired, so I couldn't help but crash to the bed. I woke up to an extremely loud thud. No one had seemed to hear it because everyone was quiet. Then, outside, I saw a strange figure, which looked very inhuman. It was dark, so it took me a couple of moments to realize what it was. It was a creature. I could not tell the features it had because it was dark. When it noticed me, it hit the window and nearly shattered it. I was scared because I didn't expect this, and I heard loud footsteps coming towards my door. It ended up being my brother, who was mad because I was being too loud, apparently. My dad yelled from the other room, "Hey, what is all this commotion?" I answered back, "It's nothing to worry about, Dad." I expected him to go back to sleep, but instead he came in my room and said, "What happened?" I completely forgot about the creature that hit the glass because my head was hurting like hell, and when I remembered, I told him all that happened and what I saw. Of course, none of them believed me. That was one reason why I disliked most of my family members. I was mad, so I just went back to sleep, but I couldn't sleep well because there was wailing outside, but I just ignored it. The next morning, I had found out that my parents' windows had been shattered. They came to my room and were looking at me all disappointed as if I was the one who had did it. I answered, "What?" My mom said, "Explain what happened to our room." I said, I don't know. My dad said I'm grounded for the rest of the 4 months. I was furious. Why would they accuse me of something they know I didn't even do? I mumbled, "This is so stupid." Then my parents left the room. As usual, we would eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. After dinner, I went back to my room. As soon as I got there, that's when I started to hear the wailing again. But this time, it was human-like. It was my sister outside in the front yard. Everyone rushed out to my sister. She had wounds and scratches on her. We got her in the house and asked her what happened. She answered in fear and terror on her face, "There's something out there. It's gonna get us, and it's gonna kill us all." I knew there was something wrong. "The shattered glass, isn't it a coincidence?" I said. My parents refused to believe her, and I, so they just said to get some rest. We were bandaging her up and told her to get some rest as well. I heard my brother shrieking in pain as we ran downstairs. He had bite marks from what looked like a shark, but how? We knew there was something happening at this point. My parents took my brother and my sister to the nearest hospital, and the doctors couldn't tell what the bite was from. The bite looks pretty bad, and that he would be okay, though. This had no signs of viruses or rabies, so we went back to my house, and my sister was showing some signs of illness, but we didn't think much of it, as the doctor said they were both okay. The doctors were wrong. They both were vomiting blood all over again, until they were tired and went to sleep. They had a high fever. It's not done yet, it's just begun. My parents went back to bed, and the next thing that happened is I saw the strange figure again in the same window, except now I screamed for my parents and ran outside my room. My dad came into the room closing it, and I then heard glass shattering. I said out loud, "Unholy hell!" I and my mother came to the room, and luckily my dad didn't sustain any injuries, but he looked pretty scared, and he was staring at something. It was the figure. Instead of the creature jumping at him, it looked at me and showed its teeth, and then slowly crawled into the room. My mother passed out of panic, and my dad was quiet, as was I. I was about to run when I had noticed the creature couldn't see, but only hear like a normal human. Luckily, my dad noticed it and stayed quiet. I was too scared to even think of something else, so I grabbed the axe at the staircase, which was gladly there, and I ran to the creature and struck it with an axe. It let out a loud shriek, and it could be heard easily from miles away. It crawled back out like a spider. As soon as it got out, I and my father were packing all the things. I woke up my mother and my brother and my sister, and we all quickly got in the car and drove away. Who knows what would happen if I didn't pick up that axe. Now, this might not be the scariest story you've ever heard, but it is pretty creepy to me. My friend's dad's family used to live in the woods near Eureka Springs, Arkansas. My friend's uncle was the oldest of three kids and was allowed to explore the woods on his own, even though he was only about 9. One day he came across a little cottage nestled in the woods. He knocked on the door and was greeted by 2 old ladies. He promptly asked for some water, as he had been exploring for hours and was dying for a drink. The ladies invited him in and gave him milk and cookies and sat down and talked with him while he pet their white cat. They talked for a while, and they eventually invited him to stay for dinner and potentially spend the night because it was getting dark and he was pretty far from home. His parents were pretty used to him being in the woods for nights without coming back. He camped very often solo, so he accepted without question. I know what you're thinking. A 9-year-old overnight? Seems a bit weird, but in our family actually really isn't. He spent the night without incident and returned home the next morning. He visited many more times over the next year, and one day they told him that he should bring his parents and brothers next time he came. So the next week, the whole family embarked on a long trek to the cottage. When they arrived, however, they found the remains of a small cottage that appeared to have been abandoned for several years. Everyone was very confused, as they all trusted that my friend's uncle had visited the woman many, many times. They had absolutely no idea what had happened, or if my friend's uncle had actually been visiting anybody at all. To make things even weirder, as they were leaving, an old, skinny white cat ran past them, darting into the trees, leaving them in utter shock and in terror. I'll start with some background. I'm a 33-year-old female, but this story takes place when I was a teenager, living in a suburb of Chicago. The village I lived in was quiet and middle class. We lived around a mile from the police station, and the worst crimes we had were a murder or two and a robbery once in a blue moon. 99% of the time, it was boring, and more boring. Unless you had a car, you were stuck walking around the park at night with your friends, and it was kind of boring. Anyway, one night my girlfriend and I decided to hang out at the park with some guys at around 12 a.m. The night was a bit windy and had a full moon. I even got a kiss that night from the boy I liked. But the night wasn't just fun and hanging out late. There's a deep forest in the park with a stream with a playground right next to it. The same playground we went to, with swings and jungle gym columns. There are 2 bridges, one of wood that everyone uses, and one bridge made of rocks that rarely is used because it was deeper in the forest, over the stream, connecting the 2 halves of the forest and park area. I'll get to the rock bridge in a minute. We hung around on swings and chatted and just spent the evening together. I'm sitting and just looking around, talking and enjoying the peace and quiet in the moonlight. I have a full view of the forest and the dip of the earth that I know leads to the stream. I see something moving over the dip of the earth. Some dark shape. It looked like it was crawling out of the forest. An arm. Then another arm. It pulls itself out of the ditch and stream. A figure that was darker than the surrounding forest. I'm sitting there, frozen. I think I'm seeing things. It just kind of lays there on the ground but doesn't move. A flash of fear grips me. What if it comes this way? I look at my friends and no one notices anything. I look back and it's gone. Did it go back or go somewhere else? I really want to get out of there. Then my friend asks, "Did you guys hear about the urban legend of the rock bridge over the stream?" Apparently, some kids or something played on the bridge and fell over and died. What a thing to say after what I saw, right? I didn't ask anything and just pretended I didn't see anything, but the experience has always stuck with me. I never talked about it because it must have been my imagination, right? These things only happen in scary movies. I rarely went to the park after that, and that black thing, if you are real, I hope I never see it again. Who knows what would have happened if it saw me the same time I saw it. I don't know. It just freaks me out to think about. I have been babysitting since I was 11 years old and absolutely loved it. I would babysit any chance I had, and soon was in pretty high demand in my area. One summer when I was about 15 years old, I was looking for more permanent work and received an offer to be a nanny for two children a few days a week. It paid well and I loved children. The little girl, let's call her Jenna, was sweet and adorable, content to tag along with whatever her older brother, we will call him Josh, wanted to do. He was energetic, very curious, and sometimes a little rebellious, but nothing too extreme. Their home was set basically in the foot of the mountains, surrounded by woods. They had neighbors not that far up and down the road, but the towering pine and aspen trees that crowded around the house made it very, very secluded. Their backyard bled into the national forest. There was nothing after their home except the miles and miles of trees and back trails. One day I was preparing lunch in the kitchen. The children were only a few feet down from me standing at one of the screen doors. Their father was in the process of putting in steps for this door so there was nothing beyond it except for a 2-foot drop to the glass, which only went a couple of yards or so before meeting the trees. They made it seem like you were looking right out of the house into the heart of the forest. A few minutes earlier, I had shown them how they could yell or make funny noises out the screen door and would hear their voices echoing back to them. As I prepared their lunch, they continued to call, howl, and trill, only to dissolve into giggles as they heard the sounds coming back to them. I was at the kitchen sink, cutting strawberries, chuckling at their increasingly silly noises. Then I noticed that they had become more quiet, listening more intently after they had called out. I paused and asked them what they were doing. They did not hear, but Josh proceeded to let out a loud, "Hee-haw!" I heard it echo a couple of times, and then I heard something else. A voice, drifting through the trees, making the same exact noise back. Confused, wondering if it had just been some distortion of the echo, I put the knife down and strode over to stand behind the children. Just then, Jenna let out a howl like a wolf. Sure enough, a couple of minutes later, I heard a different voice making the same sound in response. I scanned the trees, but could see no one. At this point, a prickle of unease crept through me. It was possible it was one of the neighbor's kids, but I still could not shake the feeling that something was wrong. I told the children it was time to stop to shut the door, but Josh, over obstinate, let out a loud, "Hello!" once more. Again, there was a quick response, closer than the others. At this point, their dog, Skye, was barking and growling at the door uncontrollably. She's a very sweet dog, and I had never seen her act like this. Her hair was standing on edge, staring fixedly out into the trees with her lips curling. More out of instinct than the reason I opened the door. In an instant, she shot off into the trees, snarling and barking. As I followed her path, I saw something that made my blood freeze. There was a figure standing among the trees, maybe 40 feet from us. Too large to be a child, and not the right build for a woman. He wore a green hoodie that was almost the same shade as the flora around him. The hood pulled over his head. The moment Skye came lunging at him, he quickly whirled around and started running back the opposite direction. My heart was pounding in my chest. I pulled the chicken back and shut the door. Heart pounding in my chest, I pulled the children back and shut the door. I locked it. I am not sure how I managed to put a smile on my face and tell the children to get their plates for lunch. After I had finished serving them, I stationed myself at the door, staring out into the forest, eyes darting to catch any movement. Plans rapidly fired through my head. Where could we hide in the house? Where the house phone was? What I could use as a weapon? What felt like an eternity later, Sky came back, tail wagging, tongue lolling, looking so pleased with herself. I let her in once again, locking the door and all the other doors in the house. The rest of the day went by without incident, though. I could never fully relax. Sky never showed any sign if anything was amiss. I told their mother when she got home, but she only frowned and went, huh, but never said anything else. I continued to tend to them for the rest of the summer, and had never anything crazy like that happen again. Now and then I would look into the trees surrounding the house and wonder who the man was, and what he had been planning to do. I would quickly put it out of my mind, because if I didn't, I would start to feel panic sweep over me. I still tend to children and almost am done with college and child development. I will be tending to children for a living. Still, my greatest fear is someday, something, or someone, will hurt the child under my care. I can only pray that day never comes. I worked in forest maintenance and forest agriculture for a while. Some friends owned a big plot of land in the Rocky Mountains. A group of us, all guys under 18 all the way to the ages of 38, would gather together several times a year, go into the mountains for several days, and clear scrub brush, make fire breaks, and, when appropriate, cut Christmas trees. This particular time it was early spring, and our crew of 9 on 3 Gator 4-wheel drive vehicles were about 9,200 feet in elevation. There was a fairly significant amount of snow on the ground. We had put in a long day's work and headed to camp, until the old guy of the crew asked if we wanted to head to the slope. This was near a treeless slope, free of any large rocks about 100 yards wide, with tracks of big trees on either side. We would go there and, using one of the gators, tow a tube downhill in the snow. It was a lot of fun. We got to the slope, set up a fire pit, cracked open the whiskey, and started having our fun. We all took several turns being towed. Jeff was the new guy and the youngest at 18. We were driving him the craziest on the ride, swinging him close to trees and freaking him out. A sort of initiation. It was about 1 a.m., pitch black except for our dying fire, and lightly snowing. Not the smartest or safest things I've ever done, but one of the most fun. Just as we were wrapping up one of the last rides and heading back to the camp, Jeff freaked out, losing his absolute mind. He was stumbling over his words and couldn't express himself very clearly. But finally, we got out of him that about 3/4 of the way down, he had seen a man standing a few yards into the woods. He was wearing a trapper's hat, one of those with a flipped-up bill and ears like in Fargo, and a plaid mackinaw. We were all a bit skeptical. I mean, we were on a big plot of private property at elevation and in somewhat hostile weather, but we took the rifles off the gators and got our flashlights and gave it a look. We didn't find anything, not even footprints. We chalked it up to inexperience, spooky environment, and of course whiskey, and headed back to the camp about 1/8 of a mile away. Jeff didn't sleep all night. He was convinced he saw someone. The next morning we drove the gator to the house on the property, got in our trucks, and headed into the little town nearby for breakfast. We had our breakfast and started heading back to the property to say goodbyes and go our separate ways. As we neared the intersection of the public dirt road and the private dirt drive to the house, there were several police cars and an ambulance. We stopped to talk to the police, who informed us the closest neighbors had found a body in a ditch as they were heading down the mountain. Police had followed in reverse footprints up the hill to the slope and then across a neighboring property to another perpendicular road. They asked if we knew anything, and of course we told them about the Mackinaw man. Sure enough, it was him. Self-inflicted gunshot, probably just minutes after we encountered him. Still don't know what he wanted, if he was any danger to us, or if we could have helped. Poor Jeff got his whiskey and meals paid for the next several weeks, but he still gets a guff about it to this day. Thanks for listening to these creepy, allegedly true deep woods exploration stories. I don't know about you, but I absolutely love exploring state, national, and even provincial parks. They're so much fun, and I just love the beauty and the serenity of being alone in the woods, away from civilization. But it seems not everybody has good experiences out there, and these stories definitely validate that. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes, and we can use all the fresh eyes we can. If you have a story you would like to share in a future episode, whether it's a deep woods story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this channel going. If you don't know, you can find your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, and just about every other major podcast platform out there. If you don't have YouTube Premium and can't afford that, you can download them for free there and bring them anywhere you want. I know it's hard with people and their data plans sometimes. Thank you guys as always for supporting the Swamp. It's been a great 2019 so far, and it's insane to think that we're already in October. My birthday was recently, and I turned 24 years old. I know a lot of you are always asking me how old I am. Welp, I'm getting pretty close to my quarter-life crisis. Anyways, thank you guys for watching this video. If you made it all the way to the end, comment the code word, Jumping Turtles, to see how many of you got to the end, and to confuse everybody who didn't make it to the end. See you guys soon with another creepy video.